The Real Fitness Podcast, episode 007, Things Fall Apart. I just can't go on about today's episode. I see, I don't know, the name that people are going to think about the moment they see Things Fall Apart as a title of today's episode. Every student of literature, every student of world history, and everyone who's African, especially Nigerians, they would always remember the literary masterpiece written by the critically acclaimed novelist, poet, and activist, Professor Chinua Achebe. That book he wrote, Things Fall Apart, was just something else, terrific. As a matter of fact, President Barack Obama said of that book, he described it this way, a true classic of world literature, a masterpiece that has inspired generations of writers in Nigeria, across Africa, and around the world. So, because I really don't want to get hate emails or hate tweets from people who are just going to think that I wrongly analyzed Okonkwo's character or Ikemefuna's death or the impact of European colonization in Africa, because those are some of the themes of the book Things Fall Apart, and people have strong views about these themes, and it could be very touchy, especially in a country like Nigeria or even in the continent of Africa and even Asian countries. So I'm just going to stay away from it. Plus, you know, today on the show, I really am not going to talk about any of those themes. I'm not going to talk about Okonkwo Ikemefuna or Things Fall Apart as a novel. I have just borrowed the idea that things will naturally fall apart when the center point, the core of your life, can no longer hold together. And this is true about real life, and it is also true about your body too. If your core, the center of your body, if it's not well built, things will literally fall apart in your body. And in real life too, if you don't have a strong core, a strong center, like a strong foundation, things are also likely going to just fall apart. Today on the show, we're going to talk about how you can keep your outer core toned and strong to keep it together. And I use the phrase outer core intentionally because there's also an inner core, but we're just talking about the outer core today. And we're also going to talk about how things in life, in your real life, can fall apart when your center isn't well built or if it's not strong enough to keep it together. Like, this conversation is going to get real and very, very, very deep. Like, guys, brace yourself. My guest today used to be a wrestler in high school where the wrestling is really, really wrestling and it's not a show. You're going to learn how to keep your core in good shape, your six-pack, your belly, your midsection. You're going to learn how to tone all of that part of your body. And you're also going to learn how to manage expectations to keep balance in both the gym and in real life. I'm really sure you're going to love what's coming. We have a great show planned out for you guys today. I hope you stick around. For someone who used to wrestle in high school and also played football, baseball, I just wasn't surprised to see the February edition of Sports Illustrated that had a 76ers basketball team on the cover, and also the March edition of the same Sports Illustrated magazine, which also had the Phillies baseball team on the cover. I saw these magazines right on the center table when I got into my guest house. So it made sense that we just started off our conversation talking a lot about sports.
You're a sports fan. What's your favorite sport still?
Favorite sport is still football. I can't really.
Oh, football.
Yeah. And then if I'm watching basketball, it has to be the March Madness or like the playoffs. Regular basketball is too boring for me. Like, there's nothing at stake. So.
Oh, yeah, well, true. There's nothing at stake. Okay, yeah, so football, what's your favorite team?
Favorite team is the Eagles, of course. Okay. No doubt.
Just to clarify for the soccer lovers, he's not referring to the Super Eagles of Nigeria, but the Philadelphia Eagles. I just wanted to say that.
I think LeBron is the best player that ever played basketball. Michael Jordan.
We also got into the whole LeBron James and Michael Jordan GOAT controversy.
Okay, so we're getting to the and,
listen to this. That's it. If I wasn't a Christian, right, and I didn't have anybody else to look at as far as like morals on what to be in life, I would aspire to be like LeBron. Maybe not even in basketball. That's just the way he carries himself. LeBron is like the ultimate family man, like stands up for himself. So it's like, if you didn't have any role models, LeBron is definitely one of role models.
Yeah, strong statements. Yo, Bron, I thought Shannon and Nicki Minaj are your biggest fans, but here you've got someone who's just going to follow you all the way after Jesus. And his name is Valentine Asalu.
For me, it's like, I'm just Valentine, you know, regular guy. I feel like I have a lot of things to say, you know, that a lot of people should listen to. I just like to, you know, I just like to give truth and just, you know, I like to think of myself as an open book. So if you have questions, come ask and we could definitely talk about it. That's valid.
That's Valentine. Okay, great. A few episodes ago, we had your brother on the show and he told us a story how you inspired him to start working out and being fit.
Yeah.
Just from him seeing you coming home and, you know, working out because of the sport that you played then.
So yeah.
You're into wrestling.
Yup, wrestling, football, never liked basketball, did baseball, did track, just cuss.
So because you're into wrestling, I have to start with this question. It's always, I think it's on many people's minds. Mm-hmm. Is wrestling, is that an acting sport? Is it just drama or is it real?
Well, the wrestling you see on WWE, that's acting. But the wrestling that, you know, high school sports, collegiate sports, honestly, I think it's one of the toughest sports to play because even though it's a team sport, it's individual. So you're going to get exposed on the mat if you know what you're doing, if you don't know what you're doing. So that's something that is just, whew, man, just think about it now. I'm getting, like, think about all the wrestling matches I had. But
oh, really?
Wrestling is a sport, man. People don't realize how much work actually goes into wrestling. It's not just like, oh, you go in and you try to wrestle. Like, no, we used to run for like an hour and a half, like doing like up and down the hallway, because you know the high school I went to, we didn't have like our own like track or whatever, so we had to like run in the hallways. But I'd probably say like at least 5 miles every day of running.
Wow.
Yeah. That's even before we actually like did any type of wrestling.
What's the goal? So with basketball, I know I have to get the ball through the hoop.
Yeah.
With football, I know I have to get the ball through the touchdown line. So yeah. Wrestling, what am I trying to do? Get the guy
Try to get him on his back and hold him down for 3 seconds. And, well, at least, yeah, 3 seconds, for example, or until the ref says, you know, you win, you pinned him. And most people, they think, you know, when you look at it, it's like, it's mano a mano. Like, there is no, like, there's nobody helping you out. Like, and it was the minutes are like two, even though it seems like three two-minute periods, even though that seems 2 minutes seems like nothing. I remember there was one after a match, my arms were just numb. I had to go to the trainer and put ice on my arms and my legs.
Really?
Like, I was just like cramped up to the point where I couldn't even move. And that's, wrestling tires you out because you're using your whole body. There is no, like, you know, you can't fake it. That's one thing I like about wrestling. Like,
that's true.
Like, you can't fake the tire that you get. You can't fake your strength because at the end of the day, the other person's going to expose you. So. Wrestling, oh man, oh boy.
Come think about it. That's so true. You're using your legs, your quads, your arms.
Everything. I'm talking about everything, even your neck. Because one thing you have to do is bridges. So basically, you'd be laying on your back and you just have to make a, like, pretty much bridge on your neck. And just you're just holding it there and just making sure. And that's kind of to help you, like, in this case, like, you do get on your back during a wrestling match. So that way they don't pin you because you're literally... You stand on your neck. I mean, it's a podcast, you can't really see, but it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, but that, yeah, so it's real. So everybody who says, oh, wrestling's like, no, the wrestling you watch on WWE, yeah, that's fake, but the high school wrestling, college wrestling, that's real. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
So what would you say was the part of your body that you needed to train the most to help you be a great wrestler?
I have to say my core, like abs, all that stuff, like literally like your chest, your back and your abs, you're literally, we're doing crunches, we're doing all of that. But you need it though, because if your core is not strong, then you're not going to be able to like bridge, you're not going to be able to like even like hold your balance, especially when it comes to wrestling another person. Because at the end of the day, if the point is to get you on your back, but if your core is strong and they can't move you, you know, that makes it that much more harder for them to.
I mean, I'm smiling because I feel like there's a whole lot to pack from what you just said.
Yeah.
You talked about your core, your balance. If your core is strong, it just can't move. This is just crazy, man. How is the core the thing that helps you stay balanced, help you stay immovable by, I mean, all the forces that are going to be coming against you in the wrestling mat?
I mean, because if you think about it, like, even in life, right? Like, I think we talked about this briefly, like, in life, right? If whatever your foundation is, whatever, like, you kind of, like, hold yourself, like, to your core, like, hold your standards to, when things come, you know, it's hard for it to move you. The same way, like, in wrestling, like, when your core is strong, you know, and your body is strong in itself, like, if someone tries to push you right now, my core is strong, I'm not going to be moving that much. But if my core is weak, someone pushes me, I'm flying all over the place. Same way in life, if you don't have anything that keeps you centered, keeping you balanced, someone, if anything comes at you, you're falling for everything. You're just like, oh man, like you have nothing to keep you centered and keep gravity down. You know.
So right now, this is interesting. This is an analogy between the body and real life itself.
Yeah.
How that the core sustains your body.
Mm-hmm.
Is the same way that your core in life really can sustain you, and you just are not gonna get tossed around by anything that just comes at you. Okay, so we're going to talk about building your core in these two different aspects.
Yeah. building your core.
But in life and both, you know, for your body.
Yeah.
You know, and the body aspect is what a lot of people
want to, you know.
One, that's what they're looking out for. But this is how you can take, you know, the lessons you learn about fitness and apply it into your real life.
Yeah.
That is so cool. I don't even know where to start. This is so much to unpack.
We got time. Well, yeah, we got time.
Okay, so let me start from your body here as far as fitness is concerned. When you're talking about building your core, what are you trying to do? Are you talking about crunches only?
Which is just what people talk about abs. Yeah, when people talk about core, like, I feel like people just assume, okay, I'm talking about my abs. But I feel like your core is literally from your...
That's like your center.
Yeah, it's like your center. So, like, of course you want your abs to be strong, but you also want you want your back to be strong too. So it's like...
Back.
Yeah, so it's... Your core is just a combination of your chest, your abs, and your back. So that whole area right there, you know, if there's balance, there's sturdiness there. So I'm talking, like, you might have to do deadlifts to, you know, get, you know, keep your back strong. Of course, the crunches and everything like that, because everyone, like, likes to do crunches. But the funny thing is, like, if your abs and, like, once again, if your abs is not strong, you're not even going to be able to do crunches, not be able to properly lift, what's it called, when you're doing deadlifts or even squats too. A lot of people, like, underestimate that. It's like, you know, oh, I just have to, like, use my legs. No, a lot of squats, because, and I know this because I just recently hurt my back not too long
ago. Oh, really?
Yeah, I was squatting and, you know, and I hurt my lower back. And I was like, oh, man. And first thing my doctor said was your forearm? I was like, probably not. And it was like, yeah, I need to get my core stronger. So your core is not just, you know, your abs. You know, everybody wants a six pack.
Wait a minute. You hurt your back from doing, was it squats?
Squats, yeah. What's it called? I went down and I heard something pop. And once I felt it, I was like, okay, something isn't right. So I put it up and then literally I just instantly felt the tightness in my back. The first thing the doctor asked me was, hey, well, how was your form? And when I would think about it, I was like, I don't think my form was the best. And it's funny because I think, now that I'm, like, actually sitting here thinking about it, it had a lot to do with the fact that I really wasn't, like, I know I normally do a lot of core exercises when I go to the gym, but I know, like, I haven't really been doing as much as I used to. So I think my core is kind of, like, getting a little bit weak.
That's so true.
Yeah.
How many pounds were you squatting?
I think, like, warm-up weight, we're doing, like, 225. So it wasn't even, like, it was anything, like, ridiculously heavy. Like, I feel like for most athletes, I'm not, you know, this is a general statement here. Don't quote me on these. But for most athletes, like, 225 is something that you should be able to just, like, you know, do. It shouldn't really, like, affect you that much, so.
So when you're talking about your form, is there a way you can describe how your form, you think your form should be, your back when you're doing the squats?
I mean, for me, let me think about this. So you definitely want your shoulder width, your feet shoulder width apart, and keep your back. I like to arch my back a little bit just so, you know, so that way I know if I'm coming down, it's just like, I know everything's like, it's hard to say.
It's kind of like grounded.
Yeah, it's like everything's grounded. Yeah, thank you. So it's like, keep everything grounded. And like, when I'm coming down, keep my back a little bit arched. And I'm looking up because I feel like when you're looking up, you know, puff your chest out a little bit, looking up. So that way, like, you know, it's just literally like you're coming to a, I'm not a geometry major, but so I'm a business major, guys. So don't.
So this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take. We'll take pictures of you doing this,
yeah,
and actually get it posted. I'll post show notes of posting the show notes. Yeah, pictures of you doing this. But that's so.
Henry has all the answers.
Yeah, but that's so cool. You know the way that. Sorry, there's something you said about doing the deadlifts. Mm-hmm. And before I started doing the deadlifts, I used to run away from that exercise a whole lot. But that's one of the most natural exercises that you can ever think about, because when we were all, I'm speaking about human beings, mm-hmm. when we were hunters and gatherers, before there was anything like civilization, mm-hmm. one of the things that man used to do was to just pick up stuff.
Pick things up.
He goes to the, if he goes to hunt and he kills an animal, he has to bend down, pick it up, and put on his shoulders. If he goes to cut wood for fire, he's got to pick it up. Whatever. If he goes to harvest crops, he's got to bend down to pick it up. If you go to the stream to fetch water, you've got to bend down to pick it up. But we no longer bend down to pick up anything these days. But then based on our design, I think we're designed to keep our core strengthened. Yeah. You know, and that's why we were doing a lot of those exercises. And deadlifts is kind of like the most natural exercise. Just bend down, pick it up,
and put it down.
Put it down.
But there was this, what was it called? I forgot what commercial it was. I pick things up and put them down. that's the first thing I was thinking about.
But yeah, really. And I feel like most of the things we do at the gym today, most of the different kinds of exercises, are just ways to help us do the things that we're supposed to do naturally.
Naturally, yeah.
But we're just not doing them because of civilization and...
Because everybody's so busy.
Yeah, we're so busy and... We're doing things now. They're selling us luxury,
mm-hmm.
you know, drive through, sitting in your car all day,
everything.
But
I heard a saying this week. It said that sitting is the new smoking.
So, what did your doctor have to do for your back, or what did he have to do?
Oh man, I'm still like going through like the whole like therapy and like getting myself back into the groove of things. But one thing he said I probably aggravated a nerve, so that's a little bit more serious. So one thing he did was I had to take some steroids to like. Relieve the swelling around my back area. And now, like, I was talking to one of my boys that I work out with a lot, and one thing that he's trying to get me to just like is like strengthening my core, so that way like when I do start squatting again, that I'm able to like handle that load and just keep my core strong, keep my back straight and everything.
I love balancing exercises. Mm-hmm. I feel like I need to be balanced, I need to be stable. Mm-hmm. So that also helps me with my core whenever I'm doing it. I think I do balancing exercises every day. With every routine I do, I introduce a form of balancing into it just to help my core. Even when I'm benching, when I'm, you know, pumping on bench press, sometimes I reduce the weight a little bit and I suspend my legs.
To like kind of like keep your, and once again, keeping your core strong.
Keeping my core strong and my balance, you know, because right now it's not just my arms and my chest I'm focusing on.
Yeah.
I need to be stable on the bench, you know, and then when I want to show off.
So you're one of those in the gym that just like... You
know, yeah.
The ones that everybody look at, like, you always just got to do it.
The days I just want to do some show off, you know, not all the time. But when I want to show off, I then do I do my leg raises simultaneously with the bench press.
Oh, wow.
So you definitely got
me beat with that one.
Yeah, so when I lower the bench, I bring my legs in. When I raise the bench, I put my legs out.
Expand it. Oh, man. No, you definitely got me beat. Yeah. I know one thing, I actually need to start working on my balance again, because I've lost, like, I didn't know you could lose balance, but like my balance is actually like...
It's crazy.
Yeah, like I didn't realize how like much I lost balance. It, like in high school and like college, like when it came to like just like my balance in general, I know I was very like very, my dexterity like very good. But now it's like, I remember, I don't drink and drive. So before I tell this story, just give it a disclaimer here. So I was driving and the police stopped me and he said, oh, I feel like I smell alcohol in the car. You can breathalyze me. He's like, no, before you do that, do the test. And I told him, I was like, hey, officer, I'm not going to lie to you. I can't walk in a straight line. Like, and I'm sober, but I just can't walk in a straight line. He said, okay. So he told me to do it. As I was walking, I literally just felt myself just leaning to the side, and he just looked at me. He's just like, you sure? I was like, I mean, you want to test me? So finally he gave me the breathalyzer and it was zero. He was like, oh, okay. I was like, and that right there proved, I was like, yeah, my balance is trash right now.
Balance here. It goes a long way. I try to do balance even when I'm not at the gym, just in the house. Just sometimes I'm doing the dishes. I'm doing it on one leg only, one foot. I have the other foot just
suspended high, just dangling by itself. I tried different ways to do it. I want to put on my socks and my shoes. I don't bend. I try to stay standing. Then I lift my legs up. And then I put his socks on. I make sure I'm
standing. So you're doing yoga positions.
I'm doing yoga,
positions to put on your put on your shoes. That's a new one.
I just randomly.
When my back is 100%, I'm going to try that.
Yeah, just randomly just get to do that. So speaking about balance now of the gym and, you know, working on your core.
Yeah.
What would you say is kind of like has been the center of your life? Is the kind of the core
the
that
core
has,
for my life.
Your life has been.
So for me, I'm a Christian and that's something I hold that very dearly. And that's literally the core. Like, God is my core. And, you know, then my family, of course. But I think Israel Houghton always says this one thing. He says, it's not God and then everything, but it's God in everything. So I feel like God needs to be in every aspect of my life just for me to, you know, keep my sanity, keep the calm through the storm and just keep my core strong, basically. So my relationship with God. And it's funny because I can tell when something's off in my life if I'm not spending much time with God. You know, for me, that's like devotionals. And it's like journaling. I have my journal right here. It's like, just in case I get any thoughts. But just like, if I don't spend that time with God and just like, you know, center myself around God, then I instantly start to notice things falling out of place because I'm putting things that should not be the center in the center. And those are too fickle. So if I'm like chasing money too much or like, why am I so stressed out? I'm like, oh, did I read my Bible today? No, I didn't. All right, let me literally calm down and just like, before anything else, all right, let me just chill. God, what do you want? And for me, it's God. You know, other people, you know, it's family or whatever it is. But I just personally feel that if whatever you're trying to put at your center, if it's not God, then 9 out of 10 times is probably not going to keep you sturdy enough when life tries to pin you on your back, pretty much.
So I've got a question for you now.
Yes, sir.
I mean, very realistically, has there been time, or can you tell us a time when you, just the way you felt out of balance when the cop pulled you over and told you to walk on a fine line and that you couldn't?
Yeah.
Now in life, has there been time, or rather, can you tell us of a time when you felt like you really were dangling and things were falling apart totally, and you probably didn't even know what to pin it back to or how to get back there for a while?
So for me, my whole college journey has been a whole balancing act. Let me put this correctly. All right, so like I said, my whole college, so I've been in undergrad, was it for 6 years now? And most people, like, when you hear that, like, oh, what were you doing? Because you were partying or like playing around. But it's like, I honestly did not know what I was doing. So it's like, I was doing everything, but still accomplishing nothing.
When you say doing everything,
so literally like going to class, going to school, partying, having all the friends. Like in hindsight, if you look at it, you're like, yo, this guy's really living like a very great life. But in reality, it's just like things didn't make sense to me at all. Because like this is why I can now say that, you know, God is like my core. Because even though I was a Christian, you know, I still was not focused on God. I was still focused on everything else, trying to do everything else, trying to, you know, be the guy for that girl, or, you know, be the friend for that friend. But meanwhile, like my own center itself was just like trash. Like there was nothing in me that was like of sustenance. Because I feel like a lot of Christians, we all have like this time where we play Christian. You know, I remember, this was 2016. This was like my last day in state college. At this point, like, I really did not know what to do. I switched majors like probably 5 times. I came into school as a aerospace engineer, then switched to mechanical engineer, then switched to petroleum natural gas engineer, then switched to energy business and finance. And thank God today I'm in business.
Wait, you're in business now?
I'm in business. So when I graduate in August, my degree is going to be in business management and security and risk analysis. So
from aerospace engineering to business?
Yeah.
Oh, and so each time you had to switch majors, did that also extend
how long? Yeah, extended how long I would stay because it's all different classes and everything like that. But for me, it was like, I really did not know what to do, what I wanted to do. And I was just like, basically just chasing whatever sounded good in my head. But back to the story, this is when I felt like everything fell apart. So this was 2016, and all my friends who I came with already graduated. And so I'm up there, I'm in state college, and at this time, I wasn't really talking. I literally isolated myself. I was like battling depression at this
State College. That was the main campus.
Yeah, main campus. State. Yeah, because I started off at main campus, and I just isolated myself. But to the outside world, it looks like I was fine. But I was literally battling depression. Like there was a time when like I was popping pills, and I was like just to like kind of like feel okay, like even to sleep. Like I was taking like pills just to go to sleep. That's how bad it was. And I wasn't talking to my parents like that or like just anybody. Like I would talk to people, but just like at a very limited basis, you know, everyone would ask you, hey, how are you? I'm like, I'm cool. Like, you know, I'm good. Like, but at the end of the day, I knew like I was hurting inside. And then there was a day, like, I just like, I can't do this anymore. I can't take it. And something just told me to call my mom. And I called her and I was like, hey, mom, I was like, I think I need to come home. And at first she was like, you know, because it's about to be spring break or like, you know, and I was like, no, I think I need to come. I think I'm done with school. And within like 2 minutes of the call, I remember I just started crying. And if anyone knows me, knows that I'm not really a crier. Not to say that I'm saying like crying is like unmanly or anything like that, but just for me, like, I don't cry like that. So I was bawling in tears. I literally, at that point, I was like, I knew I hit rock bottom. Like, I was like, there's no coming back from this. I'm going to go home. Everyone's going to think I'm a failure because I dropped out of school. And it just didn't make any sense to me. And so finally, I went home, you know, and I was home for a year. I didn't go to class. I didn't do anything. But during that time, that's when I really, like, reignited my, relationship with God. I really started to seek his face. And like, yo, God, what do you want from me? Because one thing I always tell myself, like, I feel like I've been trying to do things my way. And my way has gotten me here. And now, God, I need to, like, I just need you. And literally from there, like, I've always tried to keep God first in everything I do. And it's literally, like, the difference is so night and day. It's actually kind of scary. Like, when I see, like, even when I think, when I hear myself talking, just what I talk about now compared to back then, it's crazy. I was an undergrad for, like, almost 6 years. The 4 years I was up at main campus, I never once got Dean's List, never did anything. The 2 years now that I'm like back at home, grounded and everything like that, I've made Dean's List every semester.
You've made what?
Dean's List. Every semester I've been at Penn State Abington, like I've made Dean's List. It's like the way I carry myself now too, because at the end of the day, it's like I know what I stand for. I know who I stand with. And it's like, once again, my core is strong, like because God is my core and like my family and keeping everyone in the loop. So it just makes things, like, not to say that my life has been perfect since then, because there's definitely been a lot, but it makes me less fickle. Like I'm not moved by a lot of things nowadays. Like people tell me something like, yo, listen, you know who you stand for, right? And they always say yes. And I'm like, all right, then you don't have to worry about that. Like just keep on plugging, keep on pushing. Life's not going to pin me on my back again. So
true, man. I mean, that's a very great story, and I have quite a few questions from there. But firstly, I think I want to give, I feel like giving credit to your mom or your parents.
Yeah.
Because I want to ask you how it felt going back home and even staying home. Because firstly, I know that they're Nigerian parents.
Yeah.
And there might be ways that a typical Nigerian parent could, you know, slap you up like...
slap you up like, yo, what are you doing? Embarrassed me.
You know, but for you to be able to take the time out and really get home and stay home... How did they help you through the process? Or how did they receive you?
Big shout out to my parents. So before that, me and my parents, like, we had like an okay relationship. It wasn't like, I wasn't as transparent because, of course, like, no Nigerian parent, you're not gonna be able to tell your parent, oh yeah, dad, I'm going to a party this weekend. Like, and they know, like, what do you mean I'm going to a party? I remember the first time I called my mom in school, like, my butt dialed my mom and I was in a party.
Oh, really?
Yo, those are things like the third weekend of school, my mom was like, so you went out to a party? I was like, no. I tried to lie, but she heard everything. And then I was like, I didn't know how to tell you when I was going out. And this is, keep in mind, she's in Philadelphia, well, New Jersey, and I'm in State College. It's like 3.5 hours, you know? So it's just like, come on, man. Like, what do you mean I have to tell you everything? Nah, but when I first got home, of course, because like the emotional trauma, they didn't try to like bombard on me, like, what are you doing with your life? This, that, and third. Like, they actually gave me, I think for the first.
And you're the first, right?
Yeah, I'm the first. So the first 2 or 3 months, like, they kind of just like let me just like relax and just kind of like, oh well, you need to at least work. Like, you're not gonna like come home and not do anything. So I kind of like find like a little job. I can like at least get some money in my pocket. And then my dad, because my dad's a professor, so he knows like the American like college system very well. And my mom, like, she studied like social work, like she has her master's in social work. So my dad has his PhD. I think he's working on his like third one or something like that now. So it's like,
third PhD.
Yeah. Wow. So it's like, we're a very educated family. So it's not even like I was like the first to actually go to school. So like they understood like the pressure that came with school, but especially coming like going to school in America. So for me, like one thing my mom always says, like she felt that I wasn't ready when I went to school. And like now that I feel like I wasn't ready, maybe I should have took a year before actually going up to Penn State. But during that time, like my dad was like, so what do you want to do with your life? Like, I know when a Nigerian says this, they're not saying, oh, what do you want to do? I'm saying, what do you want to do with your life? Like, what do I do now? Like, that's how they're really asking it. So, but in that question is so loaded though, because really I had to like go back once again, like go back to my core, like, yo, what am I good at? Because at the end of the day, even though I'm good at math, so like engineering wasn't for me, like wasn't a passion of mine, but I know I like to talk to people. I know like I'm a good leader. I know like I am good at math. That's not something like, you know, I can deny. But how can I use that to benefit myself? Like, and you know, at first I was going to do communications and that didn't fly too well. My parents, they're like, community what? So you got to talk? You know, I think like community, I'm like, nah. But then I started doing some like soul searching myself, and I started doing a lot of research and talking to a lot of people. And one of like my mentors, his name is Shola Oguntunde. Like he really like kind of sat me down too, because my dad knows him, and we all went to the same church. But my dad was like, you should go talk to him. So you know, just giving those avenues to like really talk, because like one thing my dad said was like, you might not be able to be as transparent with me or your mom, but you know, I know that you'll be able to be transparent with other people, because at the end of the day, like, you want to be able to tell your parents everything, but I still think there's some things that you just like, like, I feel like we could have that conversation, like, maybe 10 years down, like, hey, remember that time when I told you I was sick? I wasn't. I just didn't, like, you know, then you can have those conversations, because I feel like parents do see you as, like, more friends as you get older, because, like, right now, I can say that my mom is, like, she's my best friend, like, I'm talking about me and my mom, we talk every single day, at least once a day. But yeah, just being able to, like, my parents are very open, just giving me the opportunity to actually kind of like think things through. They didn't try to like force me, like, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that. They like, well, that's one thing, like my parents, my dad, just like, I'm not going to choose your career path for you, because I don't want you to come back and not tell me that, well, I was never happy in life or anything like that. So like you said, like, you know, just being able to, you know, they were that core for me, being able to be, I can depend on them. Like, hey, listen, like, I don't know what to do, but I need time to figure out, and I need you guys to help me. And they were very helpful in the process. They didn't pressure me. Of course, there were times where we bumped heads because, like, you're sitting at home for a year. Like, like, what are you, sure, like, you know, what are you going to do at that point? So, you know, there's a lot of questions, a lot of tough discussions. And, you know, but it got me to a point where it's like, I had to sit there and be like, okay, Valentine. Well, I call myself Sean when I'm talking to myself. I'm like, hey, Sean, so what do you want to do? And eventually, I landed in business. Like, I was like, okay, let's see what business is talking about. And I realized, you know, I do have a lot of leadership experience, like, and just being able to, you know, leverage that leadership skill in the business world, that's huge nowadays, because people are always looking for new ways to, you know, invest in leaders, and just like business in general is such a diverse thing. So you can get a business degree, but you can work in the engineering like department or anything like that. So that's how I landed to where I am right now.
Okay, so not saying, I mean, there's nothing wrong with party, but when was the last time you went to a party?
When was the last time I went to a party?
I mean, okay, let me put it this way. The kind of college party.
The kind of college party? Okay, all right. I just went to a party. Well, I was party last weekend. If you want to be completely honest, last weekend I was at a party.
But I guess it's kind of, I mean, your approach to it, right?
Yeah, my approach is way different than, you know, of course, like, in Penn State, like, those times I'm approaching the party, like, I'm trying to get trash, you know. But it's more so, it's like, I was drinking, just like partying to like kind of like numb the fact that, yo, like, I don't know what I really want to do. So it's like an easy escape. So now it's like partying for me now, like going out with friends, is not more so like I'm actually celebrating life and like celebrating the accomplishments up in this and celebrating my friends too. And just also just like being in an environment where it's like, I already know I'm on a time schedule. Like even like before we even scheduled today's meeting, like today's thing, I was like, oh bro, I don't know. Like I have to do this, I have to do that. So just being able to like know, okay, I'm gonna schedule. If I'm gonna go out today, best believe like all the work that I need to get done is already done prior to that. I'm not going to like shortchange my work because I want to go party. So that's like a new approach that is really helping me now. So
it's very difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Sometimes Africans, Nigerians, mm-hmm. or those who have this leadership thing about them, mm-hmm. like you're saying, being a firstborn child.
there's something about leadership with you, and there's something about everyone expecting, having certain expectations of you. But deep down, you know that I probably am not all that. And then you try to live up to what people expect you to be, what people think you are. But deep down, you know that that's not you. And you try to do a couple other things to kind of numb the whole thing.
It's a balancing act. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, back to balance, like you said, like, you're trying to balance everybody else's expectations, but you're also trying to balance, like, who you think you are. And, like, at some point, like, you have to realize that, all right, yo, like, I love you, mom and dad, but I can't live up to what you expect me to be. Like, ultimately, if we really want to be honest, we only should live to what God has called us to be. And that's just me. That's just my personal opinion, you know. You can do whatever you want outside of that. But for me, it's like, God has a plan for me, and I'm going to follow that plan. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it might not agree with what mom and dad said. It might not agree with what your friends are saying, but I have to live, like, who am I going to answer to at the end of the day? I'm not going to answer to mom and dad. Like, you know, when it's all said and done, I'm going to answer to God. So you have to be able to, like, understand that and, like, free yourself from expectations. Because a lot of times, I feel as though expectations hold us down. Like, even if, let's say if you walk into a room right now, like, and you're expecting something, and it doesn't happen that way, you automatically, like, your whole day is ruined. Like, you come home and you expected a meal, like, you're like, all right, yo, I'm expecting to eat well. And you come home and there's nothing there. You're going to be upset. Why? Because you created that expectation. And, like, when you're living to other people's expectation, like, then you're making an expectation for yourself. Like, I need to meet their expectations. So it's like, everyone's making expectations, but no one's fulfilling it, and everyone's sad and everyone's angry. So it's just like,
it could be very depressing.
The balancing act.
Yeah, it could be very, very depressing. And it's so challenging trying to live up to what you expect, what you think other people expect of you. And I say that because I know exactly what it is you're talking about. And I remember when I told my dad that I wanted to own a bookshop, mm-hmm. he was like, after I sent you to college 4 years, you want to do what? Open a bookshop?
But you know the funny thing about that is, though, is like, so let's say you do open that bookshop, right? Let's say that bookshop becomes a multi-million dollar business. I bet you don't be like, oh, my son, you have done, but I always knew you can do it. Why? Because he, you know, and once again, back to expectation, he expects you to do something, like, great with that. And that doesn't necessarily mean that bookshop is not a great idea, but it's like, let's talk about avenues. Like, okay, you want to own a bookshop. Let's see how we can make that into, like, a multi-million dollar bookshop. Yeah,
something great.
Like, yeah, like, let's see how we can do that. You know, not, so you want to go to school. Like, you know, it's not what you say, but how you say it.
What would you have to say to someone right now who really doesn't know, who feels confused?
Yeah.
And they're not like they don't know what they want to do, but they're not bold enough to face what they want to do or present what they want to do, because it's not matching up to the expectations that other people have of them. And so right now they're kind of like confused and probably even numbing the whole pain and numbing the whole thoughts. What do you want to say to them based on your experiences and the past that you've been through? Thankfully you even came out of yours, and now you can talk about it. But for someone out there right now who's not even sure, and I say this again because the society we're in today, we celebrate things like, you should have a 5-year plan, you should have a 10-year plan. And when you hear most of these motivational speakers talking, these guys sound like they got it all down.
Yeah.
I'm hearing someone saying, I have my 30-year plan, and I'm like, damn, what's wrong with me? I don't even know what I'm going to do tomorrow.
I mean, if you have a 30-year plan, then there's something. I feel like you might have, like, that's a little bit excessive. But I get it, but, like, people have that, though.
I'm sitting here listening. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. But what do you have to say to someone, actually, really, who's out there confused and not knowing?
I think, for me, the biggest thing is if you're confused, admit that you're confused. That's where it starts. That's exactly where it starts. I think we live in a society where it's glorified to, like, seem like you have everything together, like you said. Like, so it's like the moment that you take away that mask is like, then you can actually start to live. Like, if you're able to admit that I'm confused, I don't really know what to do, that you'll be surprised how many doors open for you. Because at this point, you've taken the expectation, once again, back, you've taken the expectation of yourself to have everything figured out. Because the only reason why you feel confused is because you feel as though that you should have everything figured out.
That's the truth.
Like, so you expect yourself to know everything, but if you had everything figured out, why would we need to live? Yeah, start from admitting that you're confused and admit that you don't know what to do. Because that's where it started from for me. That phone call to my mom, I think I need to go home. And from there, it's just like so many doors have opened. Like if someone had told me that I traveled more like in this past 2 years than I ever did, like period, like just being able to like just meet so many different people. Like I was in a room with like a Fortune 500 like company president just because of the fact that, you know, and that started from me being able to say that I don't know what to do. Like having lunch with general manager of my company just because of the fact that, you know, I allowed myself to explore different things. So don't be afraid to admit that you don't know what to do.
Tying up what you just said about admitting that you don't know what to do and the whole talk we've had about expectations. Yeah. How about people who probably want to work on their core physically? Maybe they're hoping to have a beach buddy, a six pack, or things like that. And they have certain expectations. Let's say now we say to people, all right, these are the six exercises that you can do. And they want to hit the gym and they're expecting to see.
First of all, let's be real here. I feel like everyone does it because I know I go to the gym. Like after going to the gym one day, I go in the mirror and I'm like, look at that. See, my biceps are an inch bigger. Well, one, because, you know, your blood has been pumped into your body. So, of course, everything seems more firm. That's the one reason why it looks good. But I feel like you have to be able to embrace the process. Like, just understand that it's a process. The same way as, like, I didn't have my life figured out as soon as I left school. Like, the same way that you're not going to have the perfect beach body, you know, after one workout. But I think that the thing that said it takes 2 weeks for people to see the change in you, like when you're working out. So after 2 weeks, people are like, oh, they'll be like, oh, you've been working out. But I think it takes another 21 days for you to see the results of yourself. So it's like, be able to understand that and get a trainer. Like, you know, if you can afford it. I know I don't know all the, like, the best fitness tip and everything like that, but you have to be able to get someone who's an expert in that so they can help you, you know. Because if you sit here and be like, of course you can Google things, but I feel like having that trainer kind of help you motivate you in the same way in life. Get someone who can motivate you and help you out and be your trainer and just like go through life with you. So
I just want to say to you guys, man, about expectations too. So you might think you might start working out right now and in 20 days, maybe even 200 days, one's going to see the changes. Don't feel bad because that's an expectation that you have.
Yeah, expectation on yourself.
Because, like, again, it's relative. It's relative to how many times a day in those 20 days, how intense you were, what you were before you started out. Because some people are so far out. Some people just need a little bit of tune up. You know, so it depends on where you were before you even started out. So for some people, really, when I look at some people that come up to me, the first thing I'm going to do to you is not to give you a workout plan.
Yeah.
The first thing I'm going to give to you is the things to cut out. Out plan.
Cut out the sugars.
You have to cut out things first. Because I look at some people, I can't even do any exercise with you.
Because you can't even run it. Like, you can't even do a push-up. You can't even run a mile. Like.
Yeah, so I'm going to start with a cut out plan first. And then I get into a workout plan with you. So people are on different levels. And that's why, you know, what you said about getting a trainer. Mm-hmm. A trainer can look at you and say to you, based on where you are right now, I think this is what we need to do. And assess you. Well, if you can afford it. If you can't afford it, well, subscribe to this podcast.
Subscribe to this podcast.
And shoot me a question. And I'll probably try this because I try not to do so much of one-on-one personal training. I rather just, especially because I don't want to give people what they go to Google. Some people come to you and before you start talking, they're telling you.
Yeah, what to do because, you know, they can already Google.
You're going to Google. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, if you knew everyone, what'd you come to?
What's the point of me like telling you?
If you can't afford a trainer, get a buddy who's been doing this for a while.
Yeah, me and my boy, what's it called? Me and my boy, Abel, like, shout out to Abel. When we were in school, like, we used to go to the gym like every day. Like, but it's like, we even have this thing called check-ins where, like, on social media, I don't know.
Yeah, your brother said mentioned.
Yeah. How it started was basically kind of just keep everybody accountable. So it's like, yo, like, even though we might not all be in the same area, but is everybody working out? And if you are, what you're working out? So we'll check in. So we'll say check in, like, and then list, like, tag everyone who's, like, supposed to be checking in. And, you know, it just, but it keeps everybody accountable, like, because at the end of the day, it's like, you're showing that, okay, yo, and I know a lot of people get annoyed, like, oh, you guys are checking, you guys are always checking and checking and checking. And I'm like, yeah, because while you're sitting at home being a bum, we're getting that work in, you feel me?
that is so, so cool, checking in. It goes down to accountability, getting a buddy to do this with. I see you have a note and a pen in front of you.
Oh, no, so, you know, I was just, like, writing stuff down just in case, you know. Like, but, no, for me, it's just, like, I guess, like, the only thing at the end of the day is that you just need to ask yourself is what's your core and what's your foundation? And, you know, if you, every day, you should always ask yourself that every day. Like, what are you coming back to? Like, what's keeping you grounded. Something seems off in your life, it probably is off. So, you know, you have to come back to the core, like, okay, where am I at and what do I need to change?
I mean, from what you're saying, one of the things I feel people need to really consider is looking at yourself. We always have to reflect it. Self-assessment every time to know where you are. Because even if you're saying to yourself, or you go meet a trainer, you're saying to someone, hey man, I want to get a six-pack. Some people don't even know where they are.
Yeah, like, some people don't know what type of body type they have, or how fast their metabolism is. And it's like, some people are like, you can eat whatever, like, I know a lot of people, they can eat whatever they want, like burgers, fries, drink juice, all that stuff, and it doesn't stay on their body.
That's my brother.
Yeah, for me, like, I know I can't do that, because just as fast as I can lose weight, I gain weight so fast. Like, and especially if I'm not eating right. But I had to do a self-assessment, because I was wondering, like, how come everybody else is like, you know, they're like, they get a six pack, and like, I have to actually like work for mine even after I get one. It's like, so it's like, you have to know your body type. So same way with working out, same way with life. You have to know yourself, like, do constant self-assessment. And the person who you were like a year ago is definitely not going to be the person that you are.
So if you're not going to the gym, let's say you're in a place, we have people who listen to us in places like where Somalia, Liberia, even in other states here in the United States, very rural, they probably don't have a gym around them. What kind of home workouts or bodyweight exercises do you think they should do to... we talked about something, you know, when you said sitting is the new smoking.
Yeah, sitting is new
smoking. Sometimes
just get up. Sometimes you literally just have to get, like, literally, if you're watching TV, I mean, that's if you're not, like, with, like, someone else, like, you can literally do calf raises while you're watching TV. Or like, one thing I know, it was like this challenge that we used to do, like, every time a commercial comes on, do some squats, do some push-ups. Yeah, like, just until the commercials are done, and you realize, like, little things like that you're adding to your day, like, it helps you out, because like, you're like, okay, you start with doing 10 push-ups, then you're doing 20, then you're doing 30, then you're doing 40, and you start timing yourself, like, how many push-ups can I do until this commercial is up? And it's like, boom, bang, like, right there, like, you're already building up your chest, you're building up your tricep, bicep, like, all that stuff. So, you know, it starts with little things, just, like, adding little things. So, push-ups, sit-ups, squats, like, you don't need weights to squat. You can literally just put your hands out and squat.
True.
So, that's another thing you can do. And, you know, if you're feeling froggy, you can get, one of those pull-up bars that you attach to your door handle and do pull-ups. I mean, that's a... Just make sure that your door can handle it, though.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, those are really cool things you can do at home. And before you start going to Google up more things, I said on my last episode, sometimes you don't need more knowledge. Just do what you already know.
Yes. I know, like, one thing that I started doing at work is, like, every 20 minutes, get up, you know, stretch, do something. Just to, like, I'm not, like, hunched back. Because at the end of the day, like, when you leave your job, like, you're probably going back to go sit down again. So if you're sitting all day, like, you don't need to do that.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate this time chatting.
No problem at all, man. I appreciate this, man. It's been great.
This is so awesome. So much to unpack. I'm really going to advise people, you know, don't listen to this because I told you to. Don't listen to this because you want to tell Henry, hey, man, I listened to the podcast, fine. I mean, listen to it for yourself and make notes. Yeah. Listen to it because you want to get something out of it. Yeah, listen to it. Just make your notes and practice whatever comes to you. Different people are going to get different things from this. Some people are going to learn something about their faith. Some people are going to learn something about their body. Some people are going to learn something about both. Yeah, whatever it is, life. We don't even know what someone is going to get out of this and what part of the episode is going to be anybody. But listen to this, you know, for you. Where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
Oh, what's it called? So you can follow me on Instagram. It is at Mr. Period. So MR period Asalu, ASALU. And also on Twitter, same thing, at Mr. _ ASALU.
Also on Twitter is _.
Yeah,
on Instagram is period.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Mr. Valentine, and thanks to you all listeners. I really appreciate your time. And I'm sure you all are gonna agree with me that Valentine did a very great job being as vulnerable as he could be. I really appreciate that, and I appreciate his candor. Great stuff right here. You know, things can literally fall apart with your body and also with your life as a whole if your core, your center, is not well built. I'm gonna let you just go and dissect this episode the way that, you know, it resonates with you.
I really hope that this episode in some shape or form really added a lot of value to you. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Please take a minute to rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you're listening to me from. Please take a minute. It goes a long way to help the show. And also subscribe too, so you don't get to miss out on the amazing upcoming episodes that we have. Great shows coming up. It just keeps getting better and better and better, and my best is still yet to come. Our theme music today was composed and produced by Eddie Wally Jr. The show was edited and produced by me. And the lifers of the show, the people who keep the show going, are you, you, and you. Rest your body, work your body, feed your body, and love somebody. I am your fitness and lifestyle coach, Henry Again. Bye for now.